You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, and goodness me, there's so much going on. Their share price is doing this, and their share price is doing that, and there's overseas markets doing the exact opposite of what they did last night. On the telephone now is Greg Davies, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital, for the 5 o'clock shadow, and joining him, as always on a Thursday, is David Shapiro from SASFIN. David, you sent me a message today. There's so much to talk about, you said, and you have to be gone in 20 minutes or so. But 20 minutes doesn't do us justice because, David, maybe start with the major themes for the day, please.
Well, I think the big story, of course, is the Fed and the impact that it's had on the dollar. I was actually watching Jay Powell deliver his speech and deliver the talk after the formal report was given to the market. And what was interesting was just to see the reaction of the market. And I think what's come through, I don't think he actually wanted to reduce rates. I think he was almost forced into it by the market. And I think they've conceded what he called an insurance for 0.5%, just saying that, you know, the growth in the U.S. is mid-cycle and just need a little bit of help to push it on its way. In other words, like you have oranges at halftime, you know, in a soccer match. I think this was oranges at halftime just to give energy for the second half. But there was no suggestion of ongoing rate cuts, and I'd be surprised if we get another one this year. If we do, it'll be a quarter. But what was interesting, market responded quite aggressively, sold down. But looking today, we're back up, the S&P is back above 3,000 or the Inch. Last time I looked at it. So recovering a lot of the energy. And I think in hindsight, you know, when you look at it, I think market prefers that the U.S. economy is holding up pretty well and is not falling in a heap, not heading towards recession. But what it did do is it's removed all those, all the chances of further rate cuts, which means the bond market has picked up, helped the dollar. And from South Africa's point of view, we've got a rand now, which is at 14.50 plus.
Yes.
You know, where were we yesterday? 14.15. So, there's been an aggressive sell-off of emerging currencies, particularly with the rand. We're not the only one. So I think that, to me, is the main story, and there are a lot of other results that fit into the story.
We're going to get into that in a second, but let's have a look at these spot prices, if we can. 14.55 now is the dollar rand. That's a big move. 13.75 to 14.55 in the matter of 2 weeks. That's a really big move. British pound against the rand is 17.67. The euro rand is 18.09. Oh my goodness me. Euro dollar is 110.60. And if we look at the gold price, obviously with the stronger dollar, it must be down on the day. Well, maybe not. No, it's actually up $3 to $14, $15 an ounce. The platinum price is down 17. And Greg, palladium, please.
Yeah, palladium is actually quite interesting. So I haven't found the story. Maybe David knows. It's palladium price down $87, probably on the back of the Fed story, 14.32.
I think commodities have generally come down. And you know, if we look at our resource market, there's been a huge sell-off in a number of stocks. I think that would be against falling prices. With platinum stocks at the head, Anglo Plat's down. I'm trying to convert this quickly into my head, about 5 or 6%. I see Anglo Plat's down, 4.5%. So I am definitely a pullback in commodity prices on the, you know, on the stronger dollar.
Okay, Brent crude oil is also one which we haven't mentioned, 63.76, which is down just about 1% or 62 cents per barrel. Greg, tell us how the US markets are doing.
Quite a turnaround from yesterday. I think I like the way David explained it. The market had time to think about what the Fed chairman had to say and said, actually, that's not as scary as that. Actually makes a lot more sense. Let's get back into this market. The Dow up 248 points at the moment.
Yeah, and after being down 333 points. Somebody said to me, his name was Steve Barber, and he used to be my boss when I was on a trading desk in London in my formative years. And he said, when there's lots of sort of volatility at either a very high level or a very low level. In other words, one day it's up, one day it's down, then that usually signals a change in trend. Yesterday, 333 points down. Today, 250 points up. David, do you think people are just trying to decide what to do and therefore essentially not knowing what to do?
I'm very confused. very confused. But I think over time, hopefully it will steady out. But, I must say, I'm just looking at on the screens now, on TV now, the S&P now up 0.9%. So we're at 3006, which is not far from, we're very close to all-time highs. And I think the turnaround is saying something. This is not short covering, but I think this is generally a better feel about things. So how do you explain it? I'm in a more comfortable position now. I prefer where we are now. I think, Lindsay, the worry is what's happening. And if you listen to Jay Powell as well, one of the reasons that they actually reduced rates was more concerns about trade, issues that are almost self-inflicted, Europe, et cetera. It's not the U.S. So that to me remains our Achilles heel, or call it the soft underbelly of global markets. It's what's going to happen, not in the U.S., but outside of the U.S.
Okay, let's have a look at Stock Exchange News Service announcements today. Greg Sappi, give us Sappi, please, because we spoke about Sappi and Mondi this morning. Sappi has been another corporate disaster. I mean, these numbers came from nowhere.
Yeah, it shocked the market really, and David was saying in his tweets yesterday, instead of stock of the day, it's shock of the day, and it was brilliant insight. 14% down, and we've got a couple of shocks today, but SAP, you're getting hammered here. 4.4 million shares, 200 million rands worth. So this is getting serious. I think people are moving away from this kind of counter.
Their earnings for the quarter were down like 89%. I haven't gone through in full detail on what the cause was, but Lindsay, this was a turnaround stock. For me, it was always the dog stock. For years and years, it was a share to avoid. And then a lot of management effort managed to turn it around. They got their pricing right. They got their product mix right. Costs were coming down. And then debt came down dramatically. And then everything seems to have turned the other way last year. I think all the efforts just came to a stop. It's a difficult industry. They make the kind of paper that's not in demand anymore. Those glossy pages that used to appear on the kind of magazines with the centerfolds, on. And
what are you talking about?
Yeah. What do you mean? What centerfolds?
Vogue. Vogue, Cosmopolitan, those magazines.
Oh, yes. Right,
very,
right,
very
right.
Thick, well, beautiful magazines. Mm. But So that they're in a very difficult market where pricing is difficult and demand coming down. So I just think having had some success, it's time to avoid it again. And it's falling very fast from the heights that we saw last year. This is coming back to the lows of when it was a stock not to be touched.
Yeah, that's been a feature really. Is when stocks disappoint now, they get really, really punished. Yeah. It's not unusual for 7 or 8% moves. We've had some 20s this week, so it feels like a new feel to the market where they just don't take any prisoners and just butcher the stocks to try and get out.
When Brian Davies used to be on the floor, and we used to deal, anything that moved 1% was considered incredibly excessive. And you were lucky if you got in a day or in a stock, if you got a few points movement.
Is this the same Brian Davies, the late father of Greg Davies?
Yeah.
It's around the legend.
So I'm saying in those days, Lindsay, we never used to get anything like this kind of movement when it was open outcry. So these, for old timers like myself, these are just incredible type moves.
Yes, and they're always saying to Lindsay about these algos which handle the trading. They get instructed to get out of a position, and they don't have the this common sense that we had back on the floor, be a bit, finesse the orders, don't just smash everything to pieces.
Yeah. At 7:10 this morning, Liberty Holdings Limited came out with their financial results for the 6 months ended 30th of June, both of you. I can't get excited about Liberty. I mean, I haven't been excited about it for years. I mean, it really is, it seems like a sort of a, I don't know, it just seems a stagnating company.
Hard to turn, yeah. You know, it was an interesting story that crossed the wires. I don't know if David saw it, but Liberty have apparently been offering people sort of discounts that you would have normally got at Discovery based on the vitality points which Discovery's given you. So now it's going to end up in court. The fight over the vitality points, Liberty have seen a gap and said, okay, well, if you can show us on your phone that you've got diamond on your vitality, you'll get these discounts from us. And, I mean, obviously this is going to put Discovery's nose out of joint.
Well, it just shows you how competitive the industry is becoming. Because I think the market's getting smaller and everybody's fighting for market share.
Market's in
Liberty, So I think also it has to do with the market, a turnaround in the market from where Liberty were last year and that, and probably some growth there. But the market wasn't excited. I think the close flat.
Up 1%, 109.80. Had an interesting range down to 106, and then when the whole market started to recover, it managed to gain that 1% back up again.
Woolworths came out with its trading statement for the 53 weeks ended the 30th of June 2019. It says here shareholders are advised that earnings per share, headline earnings per share, and adjusted diluted headline earnings per share for the 53 weeks ended June are expected to be within the ranges reflected in the table below, which is pretty much boring. But, I mean, Woolworths, I think it may be stabilizing here. What do you think?
Yeah, the first glance, those numbers look bad, and there was again a write down at David Jones, and the market is pulling its hair out of that, but that feels like it's getting to the bottom. The market not punishing the share. Actually, initially, the guys just like me who read headlines took the share price down to 53.20, and a solid finish at 55.22, up nearly 0.5%, on some big volumes, above 480 million rands with the shares trading hands.
Okay.
You know, Lindsay, there were two numbers there. You remember they go 53 weeks, 52 weeks. Mm. If you look on the 52 weeks, you know, they were down 5%. But what concerns me is they've virtually written off David Jones. I mean, you know, there was another huge impairment and also an impairment on the leases. You know, obviously they're paying a lot more than they should be paying. So, this is still a disaster. I think the broader discussion, Lindsay, is whether whether they position correctly for the demands of young consumers or consumers today. You know, how many pairs of when I look at the way that people dress, and you're in Rotterdam, when we look around here in Melrose Arch. And I always use the expression, everybody looks like they've come to repair the air conditioners, you know, or change the oil in my car.
David, what do you wear when you go down to the pub in Melrose Arch? What do you wear now? I mean, you're a gentleman in the autumn of his life. Woolworths is the place you go to buy your clothes. What do you wear?
Country Road, yeah.
Oh, really?
But,
that's very sad.
I go cheapies. Whenever I go to America, I go into J. Crew or I go into Uniqlo. Uniqlo is a Japanese retailer. Yes. You know Uniqlo from there. But,
yes, I do.
But,
lovely jackets, yeah.
Yeah, most of the people wear torn jeans, you know, and Converse tackies. You know, that's your modern dress of your fund manager. So how many pairs of torn jeans can you have? You know, you buy a pair of torn jeans, they're torn. You know, you don't need to refresh them next season. So I wonder if there are other priorities that that young consumers want. Most of them go to gym and walk around in gym clothes, or certainly the females do. That I observe in Melrose Arch.
I mean, you also wonder with Willys, I'd like to sit down with those corporate advisors who gave them the initial price. There's a lot of advice from a bank down the road from me here, which must have cost them hundreds of millions, and they got the price completely wrong.
David Jones,
Yeah. Anyway, that's the fashion part of the conversation over. Oslo Mittal came out with his results for the 6 months ended 30th of June at 2.40, Greg. I mean, what do you do with Oslo Mittal? I mean, do you buy it here? Do you just forget about it? Is it going to be delisted? 2.40?
Yeah, it was almost overlooked in all the excitement of the other announcements. But it's almost like a free option. They may pull something off. Ultimately, you need government to put on bigger tariffs to allow the steel industry to flourish here. I mean, it's the shadow of its former self. 2.8 billion market cap. The share price up, 3%, but that's 8 cents, 2.48. But actually been a disaster. And it's a worry. I think they're a massive employer of people. I think something like 100,000 people directly or indirectly involved with ArcelorMittal here in South Africa.
Let's have a look at the top five major movers to the up and the downside. I'm looking at these moves, and I'm just, again, that goes back to my point about when a market is about to change direction, there are very, very volatile and large percentage moves. So we've got British American Tobacco up 8.7% today, NASPERS up 3.6%, Mr. Price up 3.1%, Anglo Gold up 3.1%, AB InBev up 3% on the day. I mean, these are really big moves, so really big stocks.
British American Tobacco had numbers this morning,
I'm just looking, British American Tobacco up 6.6%. I'm looking in the UK at the moment compared with us. So you can see what the RAND effect was. Look, it was strong in the UK. I didn't see anything in those results that would have suggested a 6.5%. You know, volumes are slightly better. They're still lagging in. What do they call them? The safer cigarettes or
e-cigarettes?
E-cigarettes and the other burning cigarettes. I don't know what they call, but there's a generalization of a term which are non-combustible. But they're still lagging behind Philip Morris in those. But if we look at AB InBev, that's up about 1.5% here. So the big gain that we saw has a lot to do with where the RAND was and the destruction that we've seen in the RAND. So, RAND at 14.53, you've got to make some compensation for that. But there was NASPERS was very, very strong. And I think, Greg, if you look on your chart of the daily moves today on the All Share Index, you'll see from 4 o'clock, there were a mammoth push in NASPERS and somebody pushing there, which got our market from negative territory into quite strong positive territory. But it all came within the last hour of trade.
Yes, and NASPERS sort of saved the day again, did volume of 3.5 billion rand. So that's chunky. But just going back to British American Tobacco, I was saying to Lindsay this morning, we're looking at the numbers. You know, a lot of people are trading it like it's a bond, and perhaps it's a move back into to yield plays. It does pay the four dividends over the year, so that may be part of the reason, but I think certainly you're correct. The weaker rand definitely helped there.
On the downside, Sappi today down 15% plus small change. Intuprop again down 7%. Assol down 6.5%. Exaro down 5.25%. And Kumba Iron Ore down nearly 5% on the day. This this Intuprop story, David Shapiro, the property market in the UK, my goodness me, it's a horror show.
Well, this is pointing towards the destruction of complete value. In other words, it's almost pointing to, I don't want to say insolvency would be a better issue, where you just haven't got enough money to pay off the debt, or alternatively, it's pointing towards a breach of covenants. You know, when you breach covenants, it means that you have to actually pay the bondholders, or the bondholders have the choice of whether to call in their bonds or alternatively renegotiate some other package. But if this is a share that has lost almost 90% of its value in the last four years. Massive. And it's, you know, the way that it's performing now is ugly. It's just suggesting either a massive rights issue at a deep discount price, you know, which the bankers will decide upon. It's dragging everything else down as well. You know, you've got Capco and Hammerson's also in similar kinds of trends.
Great.
People have just sort of thrown in the towel on this one. I think I was saying yesterday, you know, the three-day rule with these things, because people get into geared positions and what have you. But this looks like capitulation. Mm-hmm. You know, 31 million rands for the shares trading. It had a couple of moments where you thought, oh, looks like it can rally, and then it just petered it up. And even with the rand, nothing could help this one.
Okay, last minute, we've got just a quick one on Sappi, because David, I don't know David Shapiro, because you've been in the business for longer than both Greg and I. But the moves that we've seen on really big stocks on the JSE Securities Exchange have been unprecedented over the last 6 months, 18 months, 2 years. Sappi down 15% today. Extraordinary stuff.
I'm just looking at a chart on Sappi in the moment, and you know, the move from 55 to 45. It's taken place fairly recently. But I want to just take you back a year to, not even a year, to the 31st of August.
Okay.
This is a share that was 103 Rand.
No.
Yeah, it was 104 Rand on 31st of August. In fact, 104 Rand today.
Yeah.
So even the beginning of this year, Rand, wherever it is.
Yeah.
That's less than a year. Nearly a year. So call it, you know, 11 months, etc. So it gives you some idea of how sharp it's fallen and how its fortunes have changed dramatically. So, you know, once we've got to study this a little closer. Mondi as well. You know, Mondi came out with the results. They always used to be kind of linked. Mondi also came out a bit of pressure. But in Mondi's results, the results look good, fairly good on first reading. But if you read through through the CEO's report, he just said that, you know, pricing, they won't be able to maintain pricing, and they also see demand falling. So I think this could also be one of the reasons that we've seen, you know, that we've seen Sappi come under pressure. The industry as a whole is feeling, you know, feeling tightness.
The world is changing. We don't need paper. We don't need high streets. Greg Davies, give us the JSE indices, please.
Yeah, the bank's down 0.5%, which is a nice recovery, really. Financials down 0.22%. Industrials down 0.33%. The retailers up 0.25%. I think Willie's helping there a little bit. Gold index positive after being negative in the morning, up 1.33%. Platts down 3%. Resources down 1.57%. That left the all share up 0.75%, 439 points better. We would have never believed it at the opening, David. And 57,224 on the all share, volume of 22.5 billion. So
very good indeed.
That's comforting, yeah.
Very nice. And your shock of the day, or your story of the day, David Shapiro?
Well, it has to be Sappi. But there are a couple of other shares, you know, say story of the day. There's shares that have been worrying me. One of them has been CAP, which was one of a big favorite of ours for some time, which was in the Steinhoff Sabre, which has also been losing a lot of ground. And I must add to it, a share that we loved and had great faith in was Supergroup. Also seen it under immense pressure in the last couple of, last couple of weeks. Also suggesting things are tightening there. That might be because of logistics. Nampak, another one that's falling there. So there are a handful of shares here on the market there that haven't quite made my shock list, but are losing momentum every day.
It's some stocks that you don't look at for a couple of days, and when you look at them, you get I was totally shocked to see Nampak down here. That's incredible.
Greg Davies is the chief trader at Kratos Capital, and he was also accompanied by David Shapiro from Sasfin. In Melrose Arch, I think. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow.
The king of Melrose.
The mayor of Melrose.
That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.